And I'm not a biblical scholar. I haven't spent years studying theology or different biblical studies. Instead, I'm 17 years old. I just finished high school, and I work at a very prestigious job and company called McDonald's. And although I'm not an expert in theology or different biblical studies, some do consider me an expert at making a Big Mac, and for that, I am very proud. But either way, the reason I'm here and the reason all of us are here tonight to put together this night is because we have a passion to lift up the name of an all-powerful, worthy God. And we want to see as many people as possible share that passion with us. So with that, let's just open up in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this night. We thank you for all that you've done so far, Lord. We pray that tonight that you would just speak through me, Lord, and that everyone, that I would be speaking nothing but your word, Lord. I pray for everyone here that they are just open to hear what you want to speak to them tonight, and I just pray your blessing on the rest of this night. And we pray all this in your name. Amen. So why are you here? It's a beautiful Saturday night. The sun was out just a little bit ago, and with all of the busyness of our lives, why would you waste your Saturday night coming to an extra church service? In fact, is that all that this is? Is this just an extra church service where we come and we get our good deed for the week and then we leave and we are not changed and we haven't experienced anything? And the answer to that is absolutely not. In no way do we view this as just an extra church service. Instead, we view this as a night where God is going to come through and God is going to be here with us. And I truly believe that everyone who is here right now is here because God wants you to be here right now. I truly believe that. We also believe in the importance of coming together as a body of believers to worship God. And in Matthew 18, verse 20, it says that where two or more are gathered in his name, there he will be with us. And I believe that when we're all here, when we all give this worship to God, God is here with us and he's looking to have a personal encounter with everyone here. So we know why we are here, right? But this brings up the question and the question that I want to focus on for the night, and that is, why do we worship? Right? We understand the importance of coming together as believers, but why worship when we're together? Why not do something else? Is there something more productive we could be doing right now? You see, sometimes I feel like as believers, we have this miscommunication of what worship is. Like for us, worship can just be viewed as the thing we do before the message, right? It's just habit. It's just ritual. It just becomes like praying before we eat. We do it just because we do it. And because of this miscommunication of what worship actually is and what God meant for worship to be, we can find ourselves becoming complacent during times of worship. We can find ourselves becoming complacent. So if this is the case, why does God make such a big deal for us to come together as a community of believers to worship? Why does it matter? So I would like to turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 19. If you didn't bring a Bible, that's okay. I have it on the screen. We're going to be in verses 28 through 40. So it's a bit of a longer passage, so I encourage you to follow along. And it says, "And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, 'Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You should say this: the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus. And throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And he was drawn near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" So in this passage, Jesus is getting ready for his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But there's a problem. He doesn't have anything to ride in on. So he goes to his disciples and he says, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go into this village. I need you to find this colt and I need you to untie it and bring it to me. And if the owners ask you, what are you doing? Just don't worry. Tell them that I'm in need of it and they'll understand. And I feel like sometimes when we read this passage, we undermine and we undervalue the miracle and the amount of faith it must have took from the disciples to complete this act. For example, say I really wanted to go to California, right? And I do really want to go to California. But I don't think my 2009 Pontiac's going to make the drive. So I go up to you and I say, hey, I really, really want to go to California, but I don't have a car that can make it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk to West Henrietta Road. I want you to go to the Chevy dealer, and I want you to find the 2018 Camaro, and it has to be the 2018 Camaro. And then after that, I want you to go into the building. I want you to find the keys. I want you to walk back out, go into the car, open the car, and begin to drive off the lot and bring it to me. And don't worry, I have it all planned. If they ask, what are you doing? Just tell them that Dan Nichols has need of it, and they'll understand. You see, now that might be a slight exaggeration of what's happening, but for the most part, it's really not. Jesus is asking his disciples to do something that's extremely uncomfortable, that's extremely unconventional. And this brings me to a point that if we want to see this miracle, and the miracle of this story is that when they go to get the colt, they actually allow them to leave with the colt. That in itself is a miracle. And if we want to see these miracles in our life, if we want to see God speak to us and God do something in our lives, we have to be willing to follow him where he leads us. We have to be willing to step out of our comfort zone and follow him wherever he leads us. So they bring Jesus this colt and he begins to ride into the city of Jerusalem. So I wanted to pick back up in verse 36 of this passage. And it says, as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawn near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all of the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So Jesus is continuing to ride into Jerusalem, and something amazing happens, right? This multitude of disciples that were following him begin to stop what they are doing and just rejoice and praise God. And I love the usage of the word multitude. See, by definition, multitude means a large gathering of people. And I just love this image of a large gathering of people coming together to rejoice and bring praise to God. So continuing on with the passage, it says in verse 39, and some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. You see, in this time, for the disciples to praise someone who is not God, it was against the law. And for Jesus to accept this praise, to stand up there like he was worthy of this praise, was also against the law, and it could ultimately get him killed. You see, so the Pharisees tell him this as a test, right? They go up to Jesus and they say, you know what? They think that Jesus does not think he's the actual Son of God. So they go up to him and they say, you know what, Jesus, if you're really worthy, then you won't tell your disciples to rebuke. You won't rebuke your disciples right now. But we think that you are not the Son of God. And we think that the smartest move for you right now is to rebuke your disciples. You see, they finally think they have Jesus pinned down. They finally think they're going to get Jesus to come off this pedestal that he's placed himself on and say, you're right, I am not worthy of this praise. But instead, we see the exact opposite response out of Jesus. It says in verse 40, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. The Pharisees were expecting a complete different answer out of Jesus. And Jesus says, if this multitude of disciples were silent right now, if we weren't here on this Saturday night, praising God right now, then the very stones would cry out to worship him because he is just that worthy of our praise. So why do we worship God? We worship God because he is worthy of our praise. He is so worthy of our praise that if we were not here right now bringing praise to him, the very stones would have to cry out and praise God because he is just that worthy. And you see, the disciples understood this. They understood that Jesus was worthy of their praise and worship because they had been with him for months, for years leading up to this event, right? It says in verse 37 that the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all of the mighty works that they had seen. You see, these disciples had been walking with Jesus prior to this. They had seen Jesus give sight to the blind man. They had seen Jesus feed the 5,000. They saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. They saw Jesus just hours before perform this miracle with bringing the colt to himself. They had seen all of these miracles. And in response to all of this, the only thing that they could do was praise and worship God. So let me ask you tonight, what miracles or what have you seen God do in your life? And more importantly, what response did it draw out of you? I know personally for me, I saw one of the biggest miracles I've ever seen a couple years ago at Flower City Work Camp. We saw a kid who was under no circumstances supposed to come to Christ. He ended up coming to Christ. And I remember just getting back to the camp that night. It was a Christian camp. We got back to the camp that night, and I did two things. The first thing I did is I told everyone I saw about this story. It didn't matter if I knew you. It didn't matter if I didn't know you. I was going to tell you about this story. And the second thing I did was during worship that night, I gave God everything I had in worship. I just very specifically remember a song where I just kept repeating, God, you are so good. You are so good. How did you do this? This is amazing. I cannot believe this, God. You are so good. Because in response to what I had seen God do in my life, it was the only thing I could do was bring worship to God. And you may be saying, all right, that's awesome. That's cool. But guess what? I haven't seen that miracle in my life. I haven't seen God do that amazing thing in my life. Well, let me ask you this. Do you know that Jesus came down, he humbled himself as a man and died on the cross for your sins? Do you know that he loved you so much that he gave up his spot in heaven to take on the sin of the world and die for you? Because if nothing else, that in and of itself should make us want to worship God with everything we have. So why do we worship God? We worship God because he is worthy of our praise. And I want to spend our last couple of minutes here looking at the next four verses of this passage. So if you would open your Bibles back, or if you're just looking at the screen, I have it on the screen. It's verse 41 through 44. It says, and when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. You see, right after, this is the verses right after Jesus' encounter with the Pharisees. And I believe what Jesus is saying right here, what he's thinking right now as he's riding, is he's just had this encounter where he rebuked the Pharisees. And then he's thinking, if they only knew the things that would make for peace. If they only knew the things that would make for peace, maybe they would live their life a lot differently. You see, the disciples understood this. They understood that through Jesus, through lifting up his name, there's a peace and there's a joy that can be found. So they stopped what they were doing and they began to praise and to worship him. And what Jesus is saying, if they only knew the peace that comes by lifting up my name, by putting me first, you would live your life completely differently. So maybe the passage then goes on to say that in our lives, we're going to be surrounded by the enemy from every side. It says that the enemy is going to come at us with everything he can. He's going to completely try to tear us down. So maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you feel like the enemy lately has just been trying in every way possible to tear you down. Maybe it's just one bad situation that's led to another bad situation, and you have this anxiety and you have this stress that's snowballing and snowballing, and no matter what you do, you cannot find any relief or any peace in your life. Well, do you understand the things that make for peace? Because that's what Jesus is asking us here. Do you understand the things that make for peace? When we lift up the name of Jesus, and I can tell you this by experience, when we lift up the name of Jesus in worship, there is a peace and there is a joy that can be found that cannot be found anywhere else in life. There is a peace and there is a joy that is found when we lift up the name of Jesus. And I feel like all the time we may be hesitant to come to God because of something that's happened in our life. Maybe something went wrong and we're bitter at God and we just don't want to worship him. Or maybe it's sin. Maybe we've been walking away from God for a day or a month or several years and we don't feel like we can come to a place to worship him. I know for me personally, I used to struggle with this a lot. Just, I always understood that God was worthy of my praise. That wasn't the problem for me, but I never understood how where I was in my walk with Christ could bring praise to him. And the amazing thing about him is he doesn't care if you're on fire for him. He doesn't care if you've been walking away from him for years. He doesn't care if you're lukewarm in the middle. He still calls for you to worship him. He still calls for your worship. And he says that I don't care where you are in your faith. You come to me as you are, and I will accept you. God doesn't care if we're on fire. He doesn't care if we're distant from him. He will still welcome us and bring us into his arms when we go to him, when we bring him that praise, and we bring him that worship. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to ask the band to come back up, and we're going to continue in a time of worship. But I just, during this time of worship, I want everyone here to be open to what God is trying to say to you tonight. As I mentioned before, I believe when the verse says that when two or three are gathered in his name, he will be here with us. And I truly believe that he is here right now and he wants to have a personal encounter with everyone here tonight. So we're going to continue in this time of worship because he is a worthy God. He is a worthy God of our praise. And there is a peace and there is a joy that can be found when we lift up the name of Jesus. So I'm just going to close us out in prayer and we're going to continue in worship. Dear Lord, how we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you are worthy. We thank you that in all your power and all that you are, you would still love us enough to allow us into your presence and to allow us to come before you in worship. Lord, I just pray over the rest of the night that we are open to hear what you have to say to us, Lord. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.